Let's see a Bible tonight. Let's see your pens. Your lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan. Turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Lord, I pray you bless us. I pray that you really do something amazing tonight, as you always do. And we pray that people's lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. When I was growing up, I had three friends that were the closest to me. One guy named Mickey. We were born on the same day, went to kindergarten together. He moved out of town, came back, moved right next to me. Then another friend, Mike, lived around the corner. And then another friend named Tyrone lived down the street. And Tyrone is actually one of the funniest humans I know on the planet Earth. He is so funny that when I just say his name to my wife and my father, they all just crack up because he's hilarious. And Mike called me on Super Bowl Sunday, just, you know, in January. They were returning a call from, I think, 2003. And they're like, what's up, man? You know, what's up? And Tyrone had to leave his house because his wife, who we all went to high school together with, brought over some other girls, women, who we all went to high school with. And it was Tyrone and three women watching the Super Bowl. And Tyrone said that it was too much of an estrogenic experience, that he needed more testosterone in his Super Bowl. So he went over to Mike's house to watch it with the fellas, because, you know, that's a man law. Then when you watch certain or participate in certain events, we need a certain level of testosterone to really enjoy the experience. And that's kind of, you know, we got to be able to, you know, do man things and guy things, you know, in the room without the ladies, you know, cramping it and making it too proper and primpy. You know, you got to be able to, you know, just do man stuff anyway. There are certain laws and principles that govern men's lives. Men and women are very different in very many ways. Unfortunately, we don't really notice and understand our differences. But there are certain things that are specifically man or more so man than women. I want to talk about those things today. Five of them. Now, by the way, this is not a man's only message. These things apply to women as well, not to maybe the extreme. But I want to say something to you ladies. How many of y'all do not have a husband? Okay? Okay? Raise your hand up high again. Let me see that. That's probably why you got all these guys there. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, for all you ladies who don't have a husband, you want to pray that your husband got all this figured out, that when God brings him to you, he's already fixed, okay? That you don't got to send him back to the factory. So you, I mean, it's kind of funny, but for real, you want to, when God brings you some guy, you want to say, Lord, may this brother not be broken. May he understand him and he gets it, okay? How many of y'all are married? How many of you ladies are married? Okay, very, very good. Like 10. Ladies, you need to pray for your husband. Pray for your husband for all the stuff you know about how guys are tempted, and then pray for stuff that you have a nightmare about. And assume the worst. What I mean by that is that you want to assume that the devil has the worst planned for your husband, because he does. My wife and I talk about this all the time. Praying for me is certain rules that I have in my life. I won't be in a car alone with a woman, won't be a room alone with a woman unless it's family. If I'm driving down the street and you got a flat tire, I'll call 911. But I can't let you in my car. I may park and wait for the cops to come, but, you know, it's just not worth it. And you know, I was on a plane once, and I'm not really worried about me. I'm not really worried about the girl, because I'll hit a girl, you know what I'm saying? I will hit a girl. Clack, clack. I was on a plane once and this girl tried to kiss me. Literally. Like that. No lie. And I went clack, clack. And she was like, oh. I was like, you brought that on yourself. You need to back off and get up to your seat. True story. I'm not lying. And it wasn't even a girl that, like, I knew. She was just on the plane and just came over. She's like, she wasn't like she knew who I was and, like, had some kind of previous encounter. She was like, oh, I'm going to go over there, you know, and get my wrap on and try to kiss him. I was like, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I was like, quack. Ain't no happiness. But anyway, my point is that it has nothing to do with you or her necessarily. What you want to be praying for your man about is the devil. The devil. He's flying around, but he ain't up there. Because he has evil plan. Now, so all this stuff we're going to talk about, you know, pray for your man. And again, it'll apply to you as well. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 2. The first man law is that man law requires that you be a man, okay? Man law requires freedom from being controlled. Now, freedom from being controlled. Now, what I want to say is that I'm going to compare Joshua and Moses. There's going to be five similarities to Joshua's life and Moses' life. As you know, we started the book of Joshua last week. If you weren't here, we started the book of Joshua last week. So I wanted to do this men's weekend, but also focus on Joshua. But we're going to see five similarities between the man Joshua and the man Moses. The first thing we're going to see is that both Joshua and Moses were both born in bondage in Egypt. They were both born in bondage in Egypt. Let's read chapter 2, verse 1. The man of the house of the a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. The descendants of Levi are called the
Levites.
Very good. Very good. The Levites. Everyone say Levites.
Yes.
The descendants of Reuben are called the The descendants of McPherson are called the Very good, very good. Okay. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid the child 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. We know Moses was raised by whose Pharaoh's what? Wife, daughter, wife, daughter, wife, daughter. Pharaoh's what? Say daughter. Daughter. This is daughter. This is wife. Okay. Verse 10. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. The only thing you're supposed to get out of that is that Moses was born in Egypt as a slave and his mother tried to hide him because they were killing all the boys. She put him in a little ark like Noah in the water, and he was saved out of the ark like Noah. And Pharaoh's daughter found him and she raised him. But that he was born in Egypt. Joshua was also born in Egypt. How do we know that? Many different ways. But one is that 2 years after the Exodus, 2 years after all the Jews were delivered from Egypt by Moses, Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, grown men, and one of them was Joshua. So Joshua was born in Egypt, grew up in Egypt, and then came through the Exodus. They were both born in bondage. Why is that important? Because man law says we do not like being held down. God has made all you guys out there to different degrees or levels to be very competitive, to be in control, to dominate, to be first, to win. Sometimes God, and even if someone tells you you can't do something, you're like, I'm going to do it just to prove you wrong. And if you get your mind to do something, it's like, get out my way. God made you that way. But here's the problem. The devil is going to give you an option on how to express that. And God is going to give you an option on how to express that. The devil's option always leads to death and destruction. Example, the devil's going to tell you, you need to control your wife. She needs to submit to you. You need to control your kids. You need to run your house and make everyone do what you say. At your job, you need to be the boss. And if you're not the boss, someone will be. You will be the boss over somebody. You need to be first. You need to get the best this, best that. Always win, no matter what. Cutthroat, cutthroat, cutthroat. Be the biggest, baddest, and strongest. And the devil will use that to destroy your life and your marriage. You got to know that having that competitive spirit and being wanting to dominate and control is a good thing as long as God has control of it. I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to over the years whose marriages are messed up, and they tell me all the reasons why their marriage is messed up, and basically it ain't their fault. That's the problem. I go, why don't you ask your wife what your problem is? If you want to know what the problem is, ask your wife, because she will tell you. And my wife, she would never say nothing. I said, the reason your wife probably won't tell you the whole truth is because you've shut her down. You're so dominant and so loud and you get so mad, she just gave up. And so you shut her down. And what you did is you put a lid on her spirit when God told you to take the lid off. You do not want to use all those characteristics that God has given you. The devil's way. One of my favorite cars is the NSX, Acura. Anybody know what the NSX is? The thing is fast. And a friend of mine had it like when it first came out, probably 10 years ago. It was a long time ago. And he let me drive it. So I'm driving it. And do off ramp or on ramps to the freeway, they don't have speed limits, do they? The on ramp part, you know, the on ramp part. Speed limit is when you get on that. There is a little speed limit thing then, but I just didn't happen on that, even not see it. This was a long time ago when I was, you know, not as close to the Lord as I am today. That thing went 60 miles an hour around that on ramp. This thing was so fast. We drove it around, buzzed it all around. He took the, and we got to this, after we rode it for about half an hour, just running it, opened up the engine and put his hand right on the engine. It was cool. It was an amazing car. Can you imagine if you took that car and drove 30 miles an hour every day and pulled a boat? You would tear it up. God has made all you guys out there to run like that car. But if you run it the wrong way, the devil will tear you up. And that is his intention. You got to say, no, God, I know you've made me to be free. You made me to take risks. You made me to be adventurous. You made me to compete. You got a competitive spirit? God made that. God made that. Think about it. Think about it. Think about this. God has this big job to get done. He's looking for somebody that wants to take a challenge. So not only is he going to give you faith, he's going to give you the desire and the passion to take a challenge. If you're that person, God got something for you. God said something big for you. God made you a leader. He wants you to lead. I told you a story about when I was at Donovan State Prison and Donovan State, I was talking in one of the yards, and the yard's like a, you know, the size of a football field, bigger, with a track around it. And this guy was walking around the track. This white dude, no shirt, white power, swastikas, all this stuff tattooed on his chest. And he's walking around like this. White dude behind him here. Another dude behind him here following him. They couldn't even walk next to him. They were walking behind him. It was so obvious. I am the man. Walking between all the black dudes, the Mexican dudes, the Samoan dudes, and the other dudes, walking all through the crowd saying, I am the man. These dudes can't walk next to me. So they were walking behind him. Okay? Now he's walking around. God said, go talk to him. So there was a line, the yellow line on the ground. I can go up past the yellow line. We had to stay behind the yellow line. So I went to the yellow line and waited for him to come by. The yellow line was right by the track. I said, come here. He's walking by like this. So he came right over, right like that. And it was so funny because his tattoos were all up to his neck. It made his skin practically black. And I was trying not to laugh, but I was like, brother, I thought you wanted to be white. You're making yourself black. Matter of fact, you're blacker than me. Right here. He was my height, right here. I said, Jesus loves you. He's looking for you. He wants you. Why, me? What does he want me? I said, I don't know, but he's looking for you. Let me tell you something. And we talked for like, it was about a 30-second encounter. Now you have to understand, everyone's watching. His boys are standing there. All the other dudes stand there. What's going on? Then he walked away. If God gave him leadership, God gave him that. He didn't make that up. God gave him that. And God gave him that, the courage he had. The devil just happened to get a hold of it. God said he wants it back. Fellas, God's giving you, I don't want to be second. God gave you that. I want to work hard. I want to achieve something. I want to get something done. God gave you that. But God wants it back. He wants to use it. You have not been made to be controlled and held down. God wants to let you free. So he wants it. He doesn't want you to squash it. He doesn't want you to spoil it. He wants to use it. Because imagine if he can get a hold of you. Imagine if he can get a hold of all the ideas people have and use it for his glory. Unbelievable. Number two, man law requires a face-to-face encounter with the boss man. You know how guys are? I'm going to talk to the boss. Who's in charge? Ladies aren't usually like that. They're, you know, nice, a little more polite. You know, but some guys are like, we have people call the church every now and then. I want to speak to the senior pastor right now. Well, he ain't responding to that. I want to speak to the boss man. That's a guy thing. You want to speak to the boss man? I got a boss man who wants to speak to you. God. God is the boss of all bosses. Both Moses and Joshua had a face-to-face encounter with God where he told them both to take up their shoes before they stand on holy ground. Both Moses and Joshua were told, take off your shoes before you stand on holy ground. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Excuse me, Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Everyone say holy ground. Very good. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, right in the beginning of Joshua's ministry, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14, he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face and worshiped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did so. The same God came to both these guys and said, take your shoes off, for you stand on holy ground. Now, how do we know this is God right here? I'll give you three reasons. One, Joshua worshiped in front of him, and he did not tell him to get up. Angels do not accept worship. This is the Lord. Number two, he says, tell me what you would have your servant do. We are not the servants of angels. We are servants of God. And number three, angels do not create holy ground. Only God does. He says, this is God. And God appeared to Moses, and God appeared to Joshua, told them to take their shoes off before they stand on holy ground. And it was right at the beginning of their ministries. Fellas, you know what we need? We need to have face-to-face encounter with God. You need to have a face-to-face encounter with God. The Bible says Moses spoke to God face-to-face like a man speaks to his friend. Do you speak to God like he's your friend? Let me say a prayer for you. And I want you to think to yourself, is this the prayer of a friend to a friend? Listen to this prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for my church and my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for giving me a life today. I pray you bless the church and bless my family. And I pray that I can be obedient today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may think, well, that sounds like a pretty good prayer to me. But what if you went up to your friend and said, how are you? I hope you have a nice day. I am having a very good day today. You look very lovely, and I'll see you tomorrow. Is that how you talk to your friend? No, here's how you talk to your friend. Pen in hand with God. Lord, I have my pen in my hand. I want to thank you for my health and my life. And I know you have a lot of very important things to tell me, so I'm ready to write them down. Thank you so much. And if it's your will, I pray you bless me today. I pray I can have this or that, and I pray you bless my family. Is there anything else you want to tell me? Lord, I'm going to sign off, but I'll be here all day waiting for you to speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't write down what God says to you, I guarantee you, you do not know what he said. And if you don't know what he said, how are you going to do it? You need to write it down. Well, this is already written in the Bible. When he speaks to you, you got to write it down. What you have to say to God is important. It is. But what God has to say to you is way more important. God already knows what you're going to say. Don't think that when you're praying to God, he's like, can you slow down? Like, I didn't miss that part. What do you say? Can you back up? He ain't doing that. He's like, okay, I got it. What God has to say to you is a whole lot more important because you have no idea what he has to say to you. And what he has to say to you is really the truth. It's really the facts. God knows everything you don't, can do everything you can't. He's a guy we need to be listening to you. And by the way, he's your friend. He loves you. He wants to bless you. So why it behooves you to listen. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I appreciate you being responsive. This is a very interactive experience. It behooves you to listen, to write it down. And by the way, I have an opinion, and my opinion means what? Nothing. You know, I could ask you stuff about the Bible you don't know, but yeah, you know my opinion don't mean nothing. Let me tell you my opinion, but my opinion I'm getting ready to tell you now is a fact. This is a factual opinion. That's going to mean something. That when you say, dear God, blah, 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 amen, that one of the first things he's thinking is, you missed some stuff. How can you even confess that stuff you did on the internet last night? How come you didn't say sorry to that person you yelled at yesterday? You thought they didn't know you went to the rock. They go to the rock. You got drunk last night again. I know you have some weed in the back of your car underneath the seat below the hamburger crumbs. And you keep thinking you're not going to smoke it. I keep telling you to throw it out. How come you don't throw it out? Why'd you get that girl's phone number? You know she ain't a girl. I'm trying to help you out. You watch so much Jerry Springer, I figure I'd bring it right to you. I know that happens. It behooves you to listen. Let God speak to you. I have a rocking chair that I sit in every day. It's right by my window. I can look out. If you ever want to get an idea, look out a window real far. It opens up your mind. So I sit in this rocking chair every day and I look out my window and I do this. Nothing. I don't do nothing. Listen. You know, when I came to California, I used to hear about people going to the desert. I never understood why. Because when you live on the East Coast, at least this person, East Coast person, the only thing I knew about the desert was, you know, people dying. Hey, we're going to the desert. I'm thinking, why? Mojave, Death Valley, Sahara. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything about Palm Springs. You know, there's places you can get water. I didn't know that. I love the desert. I went to Borrego. Well, I've been to Borrego many times. Borrego, if you don't like Borrego, don't go. Because I don't like, you know, when I go there, I don't like to see nobody. I don't like to talk to people. I'm like. And I went out into the desert where there's no people and walked around where there's no nothing. And I was just walking out there listening. And I'm walking out praying. You hear the wind. And this big old jackrabbit, like this big. How many of y'all seen a jackrabbit? I'm not talking about little Benny, the bunny thing in the back of your house. Jackrabbits are like dogs. scared the mess out of me. Actually, I went to the desert one day. I have a friend who's a mountain man. He does all that mountain stuff. I'm not a mountain guy, you know, camping kind of guy. I'm a Marriott kind of brother. And we went on a 24-hour fast to go to the desert, and we would not eat and not just drink water, and we would spend the night alone. And he went somewhere. He dropped me off, dropped my stuff off, hooked the tent up, and said, I'll see you tomorrow about this time right here. And I was out there by myself for a whole day. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when he dropped me off. So it was cool. I was all adventurous, you know, climbing stuff. And I was supposed to be there to listen. I'm all, you know, wanting to do stuff. And then it got dark. And you could hear like hundreds of coyotes. Ooh, and you could hear them talking. Ooh, there's a brother over there, over there. He's scared. I can tell. Oh, oh. And I can hear him getting closer and closer. You know, it was supposed to be a 24-hour time with God. I was so petrified the whole time. I really didn't get anything productive done. But I tried. When do y'all listen to God? Y'all get up. I'm a bet. You get up. You turn the radio on. Turn the TV on. You leave your house with the iPod on. Then you turn your computer on. Then you go talk to people all day, interact, music, TV, friends, all at the same time. Then you come home and you study with music and TV, iPod, TV playing, and your book music. And then you go to bed. And you never get. And God is trying to speak to you amidst all that, and you ain't hearing him. And then next thing you know, your life blows up. And you go, what happened? And God's like, I've been trying to talk to you. Trying to warn you about that, warn you about that, warn you about that, but you didn't even just get a chance to listen. And it's not hard. When I say it's not hard, if you would just sit quietly with a pen in your hand, it'll happen. It really will. Matter of fact, if you sit there and say, God, I'm not getting up until I hear you, he'll speak to you. God wants to have a face-to-face encounter. By the way, every time you come to church, every week, the devil strategizing how to spoil your experience in this room. He will start where you live, at your apartment, your home, your dorm, whatever it is, and he's going to frustrate you and try to get you distracted from coming. There are people who are not here right now who intended them when they got up this morning to come here to church, and they're not here because the devil won. And then you'll drive here and someone will cut you off on Arrow Drive or however you get here. Then you'll have to wait in line to get in the parking lot, knowing you got to wait in line to get out. Then your parking space ain't there, so now you're mad. You shouldn't have had a parking space in mind anyway. And your seat was taken. It's not your seat, so get that out of your mind. And then you didn't like the music. And then the pastor wasn't there, or the pastor was there. You don't like him anyway because you hope there was a guest. And for whatever reason, you're like this. And the devil's like, another wasted Sunday. There's a guy that circumstances are bringing this individual into my life. And we are going to have to deal with each other and each other's organizations for years, indefinitely. And he doesn't go to church here. As far as I know, he's not a Christian. And there are people who are betting that we are going to clash. And it's a very public relationship and a long-term thing. So I saw him the other day. I put my hand on his shoulders. And we've met several times. We have no problem with each other. And I said, you know what? There are a lot of people betting we're not going to get along. I said, let's prove them wrong. He's like, I'm with you. How can we not get along? We're both from New York. We're both, you know, and we do. We like each other today. But the devil is going to try to get us to clash. And we are determined not to let that happen. The reason I tell you that story is when every time you get up, God says, I want to have an encounter with you. I want to speak to you. I want to walk with you all day. I want to encourage you. I want to guide and direct you. And the devil's plan is to destroy that every single day. You have to get up with an intention of having a face-to-face with God and maintaining that face-to-face all day long. And fellas, if you do that, God will take all the strength he has given you, all the determination he's given you, and he will use it to do way beyond you ever thought or imagined. That's why it was so critical that Moses and Aaron, Moses was 80 years old. Moses said, God, who am I? I don't know. You don't know me. I mean, no one knows me. I'm a nobody. And God says, you have no idea what kind of leader you are. Let me get a hold of you. You have no idea what kind of person you can be. Before I got saved, I was asked to speak at certain functions for the charges, and I always said, I am not a speaker. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm gonna take a picture, sign an autograph, but I ain't speaking for nobody. I had no idea. You have no idea. You have no idea. Number three, man law requires courage. Everyone say courage. Courage. Say, like the lion on Wizard of Oz, courage. I love y'all. Y'all do anything. turn to Exodus chapter 3. Courage. My niece can do it really good. Courage. Exodus 3. Both Moses and Joshua were told by God, do not be afraid, I will be with you. In so many words. Look what it says in verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Say, I will be with you. Very good. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And while you turn there, everybody say Kazakh. Say Kazakh. There it is right for you, right there. Kazakh, because Hebrew means be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous and be of good courage and do not be afraid or dismayed, for God will be with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for God will be with you wherever you go. God told both of them, I will be with you. When a little kid gets scared, he's going to school for the first time. He's going to sign up for a baseball team, football team for the first time. What does he say? Mommy and daddy, please come with me. I'm scared. And mommy and daddy, if they're, depending on what time, what level they are in the development of this child, they will say, you go by yourself, but I'll be right here. And what's the little kid do? No, you come with me. No, you go by yourself. You go, get over there by yourself. And what's the little kid do? He's like, and what's my and then they finally get to the line and they're doing this and the parents hide. So they turn around, they're gone. Then the kid freaks out, starts crying. No, I'm kidding. No, good. But what happens is, I will be with you, because me being with you is the same as saying, I believe in you. It's the same as saying, be courageous and strong, because if whatever you can't handle, I will handle. What did God tell Joshua and Moses? I'll be with you. What did God tell you and me? I'll be with you. There was a young lady staying at a house a long time ago, 20-something years ago. She says to me one day, I would never want to be a man. I said, that's a very good decision. I'm proud of you. She says to me, I said, why do you say it? She says, because you have so much responsibility. You have little kids to take care of. You have to be a dad. You have to be a husband. You got to provide for your family, maintain your home, blah, 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 blah. She said, that's a lot of responsibility. I was like, yeah, huh? That's messed up. You know what God has given men? His own title, a father. He's not giving women that title. Some women want that title. He has given men the title of son. Fellas, do you know when you have a kid, when you have children, that they are going to come to understand what F-A-T-H-E-R means through their relationship with you? In other words, God said, I'm going to give you my title, father, and I'm going to give you the responsibility of showing your children who I am. That's a big responsibility. It's huge. You know what's amazing about children? Luckily for us is that children love their dads more than their dads deserve. Because if you go to Child Protective Services, you will see kids who have been abused by their parents, as some of you know, have firsthand knowledge of. And yet they'll love their parents out of hope that they can get along. And even if you are estranged from your parents, when they die, it still breaks your heart. God set that up. It's amazing. But I'll tell you this. My point is this, is that he told the man, I'm going to give you my title. I'm going to give you the responsibility of representing me in this earth. Father. When I read father, I think of my dad. That's a big responsibility, gentlemen. That's nothing you take lightly. Same thing with son. And so God says, that responsibility, you need to carry and be responsible. You know what the devil says? Hey, whenever it gets too hard, I got some liquid courage for you. I got some courage with a skirt on over there that'll make you feel like a man. I got some other circumstances that'll make you feel like a man. Go beat somebody up. Go curse somebody out. Go buy a nicer car or whatever, whatever. Let God give you your courage by being with you. If God is with you, no one can be against you. Amen. That's your courage. And so you have to choose, do I establish my courage the devil's way, which is always going to lead to destruction, or do I establish my courage God's way? That's going to lead to life for not only me, but for everybody else. Look at number four. Man law requires you follow a leader. Everybody's got to be following somebody. Everyone's got to lead somebody. We know that Moses followed God. Moses had an intimate relationship with God, where God physically showed up in a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. That was his leader. Aaron was his partner, his brother. But he followed God intimately. And then Joshua was Moses' assistant. Look at Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Verse 13. It says, so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. Say, assistant Joshua. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait for us until we come back. Say us. Say we. Moses and Joshua are going to go up to the mount. Very good. Look what it says. It says, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let them go to them. So Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord rested on the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, went up onto the mountain, into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain. How many days and how many nights? Guess who was waiting for him on the mountain? Joshua. Here's Joshua, let's go. Walked up the mountain. Cloud came down. They sat there and waited 6 days. And then God said, Moses. Moses said, I'll be right back. He went up 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua had to wait there not knowing how long he was going to be there. He didn't say, I'm going to be back in 40 days. He just said, I'll be back. 40 days. The people on the bottom thought he died. That's why they built the golden calf. They said, we don't know what happened to that dude. Joshua was faithful. Joshua said, I got your back. Turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Verse 7. Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. Verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua says, I'm going to go out to the tabernacle with you, and I'm going to wait here for you because I want to be on call 24-7. Fellas, who in your life do you have a relationship with like that? That you guys are accountable to each other and serve each other and encourage each other? Who in your life can ask you the hard questions? Like, did you get drunk this week? Did you have sex this week? Did you curse? You on the internet looking at pornography? Or whatever your issue is? Who in your life knows what those issues are? Now, you may say, I don't want anybody to know. Well, therefore, guess what? You will keep your D-star secrets to yourself and they will destroy you. Because you ain't fooling God. But if you were to tell somebody, you know what? I want you to ask me these questions whenever you want. And let's say one of those questions was your internet activity. And 3 o'clock in the morning, when you think everyone's asleep, you get online to visit some of your honeys, and you start going, da-da-da-da-da, and you know someone's going to call you up and ask you, are you on the internet? You will think twice about hitting enter. You think, I don't want to get asked. I have a friend of mine, actually two friends that have sexual addictions, and one of them was in a lot of trouble, blah, 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 marriage almost fell apart. And one of his things, he used to go to massage parlors. And we were at a function on a weekend with couples. And he and I are like brothers. Say anything to each other. We're at this function. And I knew about his issues. It was actually public knowledge. And he disappeared for like 2 or 3 hours. Couldn't find him. We're in a hotel. It ain't like, you know, where'd he go? And I'm thinking, where's so-and-so? So later, I'm knocking on his door, looking for him, calling him up. I go to his daughter's room. Finally, he opens the door. His wife's downstairs. She's hanging out with my wife. And I'm thinking, you changed your pants. I'm thinking this in my head. You had a matching outfit on. Guys don't change their pants in the middle of the day. You know, women get all freshened up. We don't do that. We just... I'm cool. Why'd you change your pants? Oh, what's up, man? What do you mean? No. Why did you change your pants? Where you been? Been 3 hours. Oh, man, you tripping. I ain't tripping. You tripping. I'm jamming you up right now. I want to know. Can someone do that in your life? You know what he says? I'm jammed. I'm busted. And then I got on him. How can you do this? Are you tripping? Who in your life can ask you that? You want to change? You want to grow? You want to see a spike in your spirituality? Get someone like that in your life. It ain't hard. Obviously, it's got to be someone you trust. And just ask them. Can you ask me these 5 questions? Just ask them that. Or give them that permission. And by the way, you got to be honest. You have to be honest. And by the way, people can't lie. People can't lie really good. Some can, but if you look people in the eye, they'll look away. Like, they're lying. Look them in the eye. You get that person in your life? Do I have those people in my life? Yes. I have people in my life like that. There's a guy on my board. We eat dinner. He said, how you doing with your wife? Are your eyes roaming other women? Are you da-da-da-da-da-da? He asked me these questions. And I have to answer him. And I do answer him. Get that someone in your life and give them the questions, because we all got our secrets, don't we? Do we got our secrets? Yeah. Ladies, you all got your secrets? Yeah, see? Our secrets, fellas, are deep down. Deep. And you have to be so honest that you have to say, you know, as a matter of fact, my friend with addiction, one of his conditions of his therapy is that he couldn't drive by a street with a porno shop on it. He couldn't go down that street. Fellas, how many streets you drive by? No one who lives on that street? You just drive by for the heck of it? Then the devil said, drive down the street. Then the devil said, call her up, see if she's home. Oh, the devil is smooth. He is so smooth. Matter of fact, the devil has all of us in here in his sights in some process of his strategy. Maybe beginner, maybe in middle. He may be able to be slapping that trap shut real quick. Whether it be something you're going to do or something he's going to do to you. He is planning. Guaranteed. Why? Because that's all he lives for. He don't go to sleep. He's day and night on you. He got people, demons assigned to you. Guaranteed. And he's smart. He knows what you like. He knows how to trip you up. He knows how to get your manhood riled up. He knows. And by the way, the devil's not going to tempt you in your weakness. I know you might have heard that. That's not true. The devil tempts you in your strength. He tempts you in the area of your life you feel confident you can get away with it. But he tempts you when you are weak. But in your strength. Example, I've told you many times, it's very evident, I'm not a singer. So the devil's not going to tempt me with anything that has to do with singing because I have no confidence in my singing. But he's going to tempt me in some place where I feel I have confidence. But he's going to tempt me at a time when my defenses are low to resist that. Where are you confident? When he tempted Jesus Christ in the desert, what did he tell him? He said, Jesus, I know you're hungry, so you're weak. But I'm going to tempt you in your strength, which is your ability to turn the stones into bread. So don't think, hey, this is where I'm strong. The devil, that's exactly where he's going to come, where you feel most confident. Because that's exactly where you think you can get away with it. Number five. Man law requires saving someone. Guys like to be the hero. Guys like to be the hero. You ever go to Home Depot? I can help you. What kind of paint do you want? Let me show you over here. We like to be heroes. Especially saving a woman. Little kid. Damsel in distress. We like to save little kids. Other guys, they like to save themselves. You know, we like to, but seriously, we want to help people. We want to save the day. We want to be the superhero. There's a kid on my street. He's 6 years old. Every day, pretty much, he's kind of grown out of it, but every day he puts his clothes on, his little sneakers, little shorts, a little t-shirt, and a cape. He walks around every day with a cape. He is a superhero. And the other day, he was walking down the street. He didn't have his cape on. I yelled at my window, yo, man, where's your cape? He's like, Mommy, I don't have my cape. I'm going to come get you because you don't have your superpowers without your cape. We like to be hero. We like to be firemen, police officers. We like to be the boss with all the answers. We like to be the leader that leads people to victory. We like to be the hero. Now, every guy has that feeling to a different degree or another. Women like to protect. Women like to jack you up if you mess with their kids. You don't think so? Go in a grocery store in Vons. What looks like a very nice, sweet mother shopping is really a very dangerous murderer. Because if you touch that baby, did you know that both Moses and Joshua delivered all the nation of Israel from a level of bondage to a level of freedom by passing miraculously through water? You can read it later, but Exodus 14, Moses led the Jews on Exodus through the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted. You've seen the movie, Prince of Egypt. It's awesome. If you haven't seen that movie, it's awesome. It's a cartoon. It's a bomb. Moses had a staff in his hand. He lifted the staff up and said, I don't know what he said, but he said something like, water's part. Something. And he slammed the staff down into the water. This didn't really happen. This is not how it happened in the Bible, but it was still cool. And the water went whoosh. And there was a wall of water on this side and a wall of water. And that did happen. And as the Jews were walking through, you could see all the lightning coming through the water and the fish swimming. It was the bomb. And then Joshua, we're going to see in 2 weeks, we're going to study that sermon, Joshua 3, where the Jews went through the Jordan. When the priest stepped in the water went up and there was a wall of water on this side and a wall of water on that side and they walked through, just like Moses. God has given us the ability to help people, desire to help people. And guess what? The devil would love for you to keep it focused on this level. Home Depot, fireman, policeman, boss, manager, coach, be the hero on this level. The devil does not want you to see the spiritual level. The devil does not want you to see that God has given you the ability and the desire and the passion to lead people out of death, not a burning building, but burning hell, to salvation. Imagine if God could give you eyes to see all the despair people have, all the people who've been raped, molested, suicidal, addicted, abandoned, all the people realize they messed up their life, all the people feel so guilty because of their sin, people who've been in crime, been in jail, who've stolen, who've assaulted people, and you feel just like garbage inside. Imagine if you can see that. And by the way, all of that is in this room right now. All of that is in this room. We were at San Diego State 2 years ago. Well, we left San Diego State 2.5 years ago. We had church here for 5 years. How many of y'all were there? Been to San Diego State? Very good. We had church here for 5 years. Now, standing in the back corner before I was going up, and this young lady came to me. She just walked up to me and handed me a note. And she said, "Thank you." Walked away. Opened the note. She said, "I've been raped twice. I'm 20 years old. I never even told my parents I was going to kill myself. I got saved, and I have new hope in my life." I was like, that's in this room. Some of y'all have had horrible things happen to you. Some of you have so much potential. Y'all have so much potential, but some of y'all have so much potential that you know you wasted. You know what God's saying? I love all of you, and I have the remedy for all of you. But you have to surrender it to me. And all that stuff that your gender or your personality is calling out and crying out to express, all those characteristics that your personality is crying out to express, things you want to do, God's saying, "I want to give you an avenue to do it." If you're an idea person, God has given you those ideas. If you're a leader, God has made you a leader. If you're a support person, God has made you that. If you're a detailed person, God has made you that. If you're an encourager, God has made you that way. And he has a place in his kingdom for you to do just that really, really well. But you have to give your life to him. And you have to let him have his way with you. So we're going to pray. And some of y'all need to ask Christ. Some of y'all need to have this face-to-face encounter to be saved. God, forgive me of my sin. And others of y'all, y'all just go, "You know what? I just need to stop playing games." One of the reasons we had the guys come here today, and one of the reasons we had you stand up like that, is because sometimes, you know, you can sit back in church for years and do this and think, "You know what? I don't want to be embarrassed. That's kind of corny. I don't want to be uncomfortable." So the reason we do it all together is like, okay, let's take all that out of it. No more peer pressure. And then you realize, this is cool. This ain't that bad. And wasn't it great how it sounded when all y'all were singing? Hey, let me tell you something. The first time I raised my hands, I did this. I did the little Tyrannosaurus Rex, praise God. I was in Chino State Prison, sitting in the front row. I was there to share my testimony. Young Christian, just got saved that year. The year I got saved. And I was like sitting there going, I got to lift my hands. I know I got to lift my hands. I know I got to lift my hands. And I said, okay, just start slow. And I just did this. And I was like, it was a battle. It was a battle to do that. Everyone's looking at me right now. Ain't one no one looking at me. They ain't care about me. The devil's like, "You look like a fool." That's when you get it and go, wait a minute, this is cool. Because when you can be free, and by the way, this means I surrender. It's what you do when the police point a gun at you. Right? The next time you see someone with their hands up, say, "Hey, they're praising God." They're praising God they ain't dead. You have to go home today and you have to look yourself in the mirror and you have to tell yourself this. God has made wonderfully created me. And I'm going to say something to you, and please don't let it sound like it's arrogant. But I know a lot about, not everything, the talents God has given me and the talents he hasn't. But the things that he has given me to do, I am so excited about. And I love being that. And when I'm not that, I'm not happy as I am when I am that. That every single one of you, when you go home today, you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, God made you wonderfully and gave you very unique gifts and talents. And he wants to explode those talents for his good. He does. But he won't unless you surrender them to him. And if you put yourself in a position where the devil has scarred you, he has wounded you, he has robbed you, God wants to restore that. He does. It really does. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, me and you face to face. No more games. If you have a relationship here, if you're married, there's only a few people here married, you're dating somebody, and God needs to be in your relationship, surrender your relationship. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Oh, you so know all these people in this room and everything you have planned for their life, and you know their pains, their struggles, their fears. You know how much they don't know. And they don't even know what they don't know. And you love them so much. You want to bless them, use them. You want to see them succeed so badly. But you need them to surrender on their own. If you want to surrender, just know this. God knows everything you're thinking right now. He knows all the things you should be thinking as well. He knows what you did yesterday. He has a better plan. He's been patiently waiting. And the devil's been scrambling, trying to kill you, trying to torment you. If you were like Jesus, if you want to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and you want to stop playing around, and you want to be like a Joshua and a Moses and be used way beyond what you thought you could, and to see all your talents just blossom in your life, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I'm ready to surrender. Dear God, I'm ready to give my life to you. I'm ready to surrender everything I know about myself to everything I know about you, acknowledging there's so much I don't know. But what I know about you, I trust. Cleanse me of my sin, renew my mind, be my Lord and my Master and my God. Thank you, God. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and today you really, really, really want God, you want to have a face-to-face, just stand to your feet and acknowledge him in your life. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Maybe God needs to heal you. You have pain that is distracting you from God. It's preventing you from worshiping. It's preventing you from trusting God. It's preventing you from praying. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. You've been violated. And God wants to heal you. And you want him to heal you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Good, 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 good. Anybody else? You hear this little voice going, psst, stand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, 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 good. There's another little voice saying, you don't need to stand up. God knows. What God knows is that that little voice is lying to you. Stand up. Good, 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 good. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes. It's probably about 75 of y'all stand up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Good, 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 good. Now we're going to ask all y'all to do one more thing. It's going to be fun, too. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand. They come on down. Amen. It's okay. Stand there anyway. God bless you. God bless you. Who's a man? Who's a man? Amen. Amen. Stay right here, little fella. Stay up here. Good. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. You can stay up here. You can stay here. Everyone stay up here. Good, 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 good. Good, good, good. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Amen. Who's the man? God bless you. 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 All right. All right. All right. All right. As I said, when you were praying, as I was simulating that prayer that God's not up in heaven writing down your prayer, trying to keep up with you because he already knows what you're going to say. Same thing's happening right now. He's not up there figuring out, okay, what am I going to do now? He already knows what he's going to do. He's got, he has all the answers to your problems. He's not going to dump them on you today because you couldn't handle it. You need to walk with him every day. God, what do you want me to do? That's why you need to listen. Because in the middle of the day, stuff is going to happen. You're going to need to get his advice right then and there. You can't wait till Sunday. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. I did a wedding the other day. When a man and woman get married, they start a relationship of oneness to become one. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, it's a relationship to become one. It's not where you tell him what to do or ask what to do. He's not your servant. You are his servant. So you say, God, what do you want me to do? He has all your answers. He is ready. He is ready. None of you are a mystery to him. He was there when your great grandmammy was born. And he knew you were going to be born. And when you were in the womb, that big, he was there. Getting everything ready for you. So right now, he's like, let's go. Amen. Y'all want to be blessed? I want to be blessed every day. I want to be blessed big time. Why? All that means I want everything God has for me. I want it. Because if he don't give it to me, what is he going to do with it? It's mine. He got enough blessings for you. You don't need my blessings. And I don't need yours. I just need mine. And all you need is yours. So go get it. Go get it. And you only have to do one thing to get it. One very simple thing. Say obey. That is the simplest, that is the simplest way and the most biblical way to describe your responsibility for the rest of your life is to obey God. Just simply keep your eyes on him. That's why we have this book. He only wrote one. He didn't need to write two. He got it right the first time. He has one son. No one ever, anybody else ever claimed to be the Son of God like Jesus did. He died and rose from the dead. No one else died and rose from the dead. This is kind of a close and shut case, open and shut case. He is God. So if you just do what he says, all your issues will start to go away. And he will call you to confront some of them. Some of them are phone numbers you need to delete off your phone. Email addresses you need to delete out your email box. MySpace page buddy whatever whatever's you need to get rid of. The internet's not the devil, but the devil uses it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That stuff is hoochified to the nth degree. And by the way, you don't need a whole bunch of Jesus to know the stuff you need to fix. You just need common sense sometimes. Believe me, it works. Get rid of that stuff real quick. And then you'll be able, when I was like 12 years old, there was a guy who lived behind me. My yard was this big. His yard was like five times the size. I don't know why they did that, but the house behind us had these huge yards and we had these little yards. And his yard was probably like a half acre. And the grass was this high. So me and my friend, we got $10 each to cut his grass down. But we didn't have a lawnmower. You couldn't use a lawnmower. It was this high. We had to use a sickle and just go through and chop it down like that. It was hot. It was nasty. It was a long day. But when we chopped the grass down, that's the first time we saw how really big the yard was. It was like, wow, look at this yard. When you go home, just chop all the junk out of your life. That's easy. Rid of the knucklehead friends, knucklehead email, blah, blah. And then guess what? You're going to start to see how great your life really is. Do that quick. Before you get home, you can start thinking of stuff you need to change because you know it. And then watch what God does in your life. You amen?
Amen.
There's some people you see on a regular basis you need to not see anymore. There's some people you think love you. Love is not a license to do what you want. It is not. Love means obeying God. There's some people in your life you need to get rid of. They're no good for you. For now, cut them off. I had to cut one of my best friends off when I got saved. We were together day and night. My wife, who was then my girlfriend at the time, she's here right now, listening to me right now in this room. She's called him my wife. And I said, I got to get rid of you, and I got to get back with my girlfriend and get married to her, because you ain't no good for me. I love to do like a brother, but he was no good for me. You got to do the same thing. Your life will change so fast. So we're going to pray for you. Where's my, all y'all, we got a room over here we want to take y'all in so we can pray for you. You're going to follow this man right here in a minute. We're going to walk this way. I'm going to ask all you peoples over here to let them get through so they can get in that back room. Amen? I need to talk to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all these people. Thank you so much for their goodness. Thank you so much for your goodness and their faith and their courage to come today. And I pray that you radically change their life. I pray they let you be God. I pray they let you have control. I pray that you do a supernatural thing in their life. And Lord God, I pray they understand what I'm saying. They know the stuff in their life they need to change. They know what that is. They may not know all, but they know some. And I pray they do what they know. One day at a time. And I pray all of us would take care of our business, that we would stop playing games. We would get a small group that would be accountable to somebody, that would be honest with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you move, use this card. Amen. All y'all, let's give them a hand as they go out. Let's give me a hand. Come on, come on, come on, come on.